Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Look skyward in the evening, and you're bound to see a satellite or two going overhead. Three of those satellites, which are owned by Spot Image of France, are beaming images to a satellite dish located at the University of Lethbridge. And that's making Lethbridge a world leader in remote sensing technology and the management of satellite data. And with a little ingenuity, some MDF, and maybe even a bit of duct tape, geography professor Dr. Craig Coburn has produced the world's first $200 goniometer. Yet another first for the University of Lethbridge. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. There are many synergies happening in Lethbridge to make this southern region of the province a hotbed of activity in the field of remote sensing. For one thing, the wide open prairie is a great place to put a satellite receiving station. And that's exactly what the University of Lethbridge has done with the creation of the new Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Centre. Dr. Dennis Fitzpatrick is the Vice President of Research at the University of Lethbridge.
The Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Centre was created by the partnership between us and Iontis Geomatics. It was an amazing opportunity to build a research program between ourselves and a local industry. The reason we were so excited about this is that optical imaging of the Earth provides a whole set of tools to do research in climate change, in water, in agriculture, in forest. These are areas that University of Lethbridge researchers already work in. Now, the bonus of this is that optical imaging of the Earth is all driven by developing new computer programs to extract information out of these images. And so not only did we have the application base, but we also had the fundamental research, the possibility of creating new intellectual property, new applications. It really gives us a center which brings in people from biology and people from mathematics and computer science. And that's a really good opportunity.
Premier Klein was down here not too long ago and gave you a check for $1.2 million towards this. How is that going to help the overall imaging center and what it is that you have planned?
Well, Premier Klein provided us a $1.2 million check, and that is actually going to give us the infrastructure necessary to do this. Optical imaging is a data-intensive process. We need high-speed computers, we need storage space, and we need specialized programs and the licenses for those programs for researchers to use and for students to use. So basically, the government of Alberta has paid for the infrastructure for this. Now, we've got a number of other partners who are coming in and providing us with operating money, seed money, so we can develop a strong research program, and also money to hire. This is the nice thing about this. We have money to hire some of the best scientists in this area in Canada, and look forward for an announcement because we've hired two of the best in Canada to move to Alberta.
What other opportunities might come out of this?
Well, optical imaging of the Earth is used in many other universities with a whole diversity of applications. Now, because we're going to be the host for all the data coming out of the SPOT constellation of imaging satellites, we are developing research partnerships with three major universities in the United States and have already started discussions with four or five universities in Canada. Now, we talk about being intensive in satellite imagery. The one university that we're working with and will probably be our first partner to sign off an agreement, the University of California at Santa Barbara, probably uses more imaging of the Earth data than all the Canadian universities combined. And it's amazing that the University of Lethbridge could hold a research tool that they want to use. And it just shows you what the payback on some of the investments that have been made in the past is. We can only partner with them because they built SuperNet. We can only partner with them because of the investments that have been made previously in things like WestGrid that give us the computer power to make this all happen. So this is a really good story because not only does it create a freestanding organization, but it creates new opportunities to build research partnerships and leverage these dollars.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
A pleasure.
That was Dr. Dennis Fitzpatrick, Vice President of Research at the University of Lethbridge. One of the main partners in the Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Centre is Ionctus Geomatics Corporation. Ionctus President Ryan Johnson is a graduate of the University of Lethbridge. After developing a computer software program to manage satellite imagery, he has now turned his company and Lethbridge into one of the world leaders in this field.
Well, the first thing I should do is explain the name. Ionctus is the Latin word which means to join. When we first started writing software, our company was joining spatial databases, so it made sense at the time. Since then, we've expanded our business dramatically. We're now what's considered the channel partner for Spot-Image. Spot-Image is a French constellation of satellites that we're now the exclusive distributor of in Canada and the United States. Well, we've had a long time tied to the University of Lethbridge. Most of our staff has graduated from the University of Lethbridge. They've been a great partner to work with. We've jointly created a new company called the Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Center, which will be the center for research using spot data in Canada. What we've done is given them access to actually task the satellites and access to the archive of imagery for any research projects that they want to pursue.
Now, you were just showing me around the office, and you have on display a number of different satellite images of places around the world, Baghdad, for example. How does this work? How are you getting these images?
We have the ability to task the three spot satellites that are working, spots 2, 4, and 5. So each day we work with our clients to assess their requirements. And, for example, we've done a project in Chile for a mining company. They'd give us the location in Chile that they'd like to image, the characteristics of the data that they need for their project. We'd then task the satellite through France. The data would be acquired, downloaded to our ground station where we would produce it, make it map ready, and deliver it back to our client.
What is it then that makes you different from others who are in this business?
That's a good question. Everybody's heard there's many imaging satellites in space right now. The characteristics of SPOT are unique. We do fit into a niche market. If you look at the high-resolution companies, those satellites have the ability to image at very high resolution but can cover a very small area in a given year. Our satellites are truly mapping satellites. We have the capability to map very large areas very quickly. Last year, we tested the capabilities of the SPOT satellites, and we got somewhere between 70 to 75% of the top of the provinces to the U.S. border done in a single year. So that's something that no other constellation of satellites can do.
How is it then that you ended up getting this arrangement with SPOT out of France? I mean, they could have gone to anybody.
It was really an opportune timing issue for us. SPOT had come into North America and had terminated their existing distribution agreements, and were looking to create a new way of sharing their data. So what they did is created what are called channel partners. They were looking for single companies to be the exclusive distributors to a given territory, Canada, or in the United States, individual markets. We found out about that opportunity and pursued it very vigorously with SPOT. We shared our business vision of how we wanted to manage the data and to share the data to our clients. SPOT bought into our vision, and we were able to successfully negotiate a deal for the Canadian rights. What we basically shared was that we wanted to change the way that data was provided to the clients. Selling imagery in the past has been a very hard market to do. You had to sell the client this year, then you had to revisit them next year to sell them again. Plus, there was a huge difficulty in delivering the data to the client because we're now dealing with huge volumes of data that clients generally can't manage. So our TerraEngine software manages that on behalf of the client, and we can sell it now on a monthly fee, very much like a cell phone contract, where we commit to update their data sets. So we really changed the market in terms of how people can access imagery.
Who are some of your clients?
We have a very wide variety of clients. In Canada, some of our bigger clients would be the Alberta government. We work with Emergency Management Alberta. We've provided a base map of the whole province. We've deal with forestry companies across Canada. In the United States, we deal with basically every federal government agency, counties, states. So we have a nice wide variety of clients, which is good.
Well, I saw some vineyards out there, and I also saw some military photos.
Yes. Spot is really good because we can acquire a very large area very quickly. So for vineyards, for example, where they want to do agriculture mapping or assess the quality of a certain field, we can image a large area very quickly at a specific time during the year where it's appropriate to try to take those measurements. In terms of the military activity, again, we can image very large areas to give a synoptic view so that they can then task the high-resolution satellites to make more decisions based on that.
What does this say, then, being able to run this sort of a business for North America from Lethbridge, Alberta?
Well, Lethbridge is an interesting place to establish this business. Obviously, it was established here because that's our home. But really, now that most of our data is distributed through the network, and we have strong distribution partners like TELUS Geomatics in Canada and in the States, TerraImage USA, we have access to the clients anywhere. It means quite a bit of travel for our salespeople. But really, it doesn't matter where our business is located now, because it really wouldn't make sense to locate in Calgary, for example, because that's only one segment of our market, oil and gas. It wouldn't make sense to locate in Washington because that's, again, another segment of our business. We really now have a national and international business in North America that we need to address, and we can do that from Lethbridge just as well as from anywhere else.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming.
That was Ryan Johnson, president of Iunctus Geomatics Corporation, one of the partners in the new Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Center at the University of Lethbridge. Wim Chalmette is the operations manager at Iunctus Geomatics. Every day, his office processes thousands of satellite images of landscapes across North America.
Well, it's an interesting concept. Basically, there are two main types of satellites. You have the geostationary satellites, which always look at the same spot on the globe. Those are typically telecommunication satellites. That's not what we do. We do what's called orbital satellites. Those satellites basically fly around the globe constantly on some sort of north-south pattern. And if you just that combine them with the movement of the Earth, Earth rotates east-west, and the satellites fly around north-south. If you combine those two movements, you can see that basically the satellite at any given time will see a certain position on the globe, or vice versa. Any position on the globe will be visible eventually by any of the satellites.
How do you then deal with clouds? Obviously, you can't see through them, so how do you manipulate around that?
Yeah, if we have an image with cloud, if it's the entire image is cloudy, obviously that image effectively is worthless. So we can't do anything with it. So we have to wait till the satellite comes over again. Typically, 2 to 3 days later, we would be able to see that same area again, and we just try to take another picture. If there's no clouds that day, great, you have a good picture. Typically, though, especially in harder areas like the Maritimes and or British Columbia, where you really have a lot of cloud cover, that technique just to wait for a good image doesn't work. What we do there is we take two or three images over the same area and sort of hope that the clouds are always in different positions. What we do then is literally just clip out the clouds out of each individual image and then just stack them on top of each other. And in the end, you have a mosaic view of that area of different pictures of different days where you just clipped out the clouds, but you have full coverage of that area.
You're collecting all these images. That's a tremendous amount of data. How do you manage that then?
Luckily, we live in a computer world right now where everything is very highly automated. For instance, our satellite ground station here in Lethbridge basically runs autonomous. There's nobody there who needs to move the dish so it tracks the satellite. So that's one big part of the automation. Then all the images acquired per day are automatically cataloged. There is a cloud assessment being done where the computer says this image is not good because it's full of clouds and this image is great because there's no clouds and anything in between that. And then with all kind of computer applications, we start looking at very low resolution, quick looks of all the different images that we have. And we can either do a manual selection of those images or do a virtually automated selection of those images to know which images we really want to process. And from then on, the number of images have drastically been reduced. It's a manageable amount of images. And from there on, it typically tends to be a little bit more manual work. But for instance, to give you an idea, I just looked at all the images shot over North America that have been downloaded here in our ground station. There were exactly 34,340 images. So yes, it is a very large amount of images, but with all the automation that I described, it's actually quite manageable.
So if you have clients from all over North America who want access to all of these images and the data that comes from it, we must be talking not gigabytes, but like terabytes. How much computer power do you have to have?
Yeah, you're very good aware of the terminology. We are talking about several terabytes of data on a yearly basis. Since we've been active at our ground station, we have collected just a little over 13 terabytes of data. Now, nobody can handle this amount of data, so each client is interested in a certain area, whether that's a small area like a couple of townships in Alberta for oil and gas company. That's easy. We just deliver that over an FTP server over the internet. Bigger clients who want coverage of the entire province of Alberta, clearly we don't want to start pumping that live through the internet anymore, not the entire data set. So those people, we would typically just ship them a hard disk. It sounds like a very low-tech solution, but it's a very efficient way to deal with larger data sets. We ship them that on hard disks or on dedicated little servers even, and they just plug it in into their network and they have the data set right there.
You've got a new ground station. What's it like?
What it is, it's basically a concrete building which houses a little bit of equipment and some electrical components. But on top of the building, underneath that ping pong ball, which we call the radome, there's a big satellite dish sitting in there that automatically tracks the satellites as they come over, downloads all the data right there, and we can start processing the data right here. The big advantage, really, of having this ground station here in Lethbridge is prior to us having this ground station, the data was downloaded either to Toulouse in France or Kiruna in Sweden. And then for us, for IONQTIS to have access to this data, we needed to get images piecemeal on a one-by-one basis over here. So it was much harder to have access to the data. Right now, as I said, we download thousands and thousands of images per day rather than four or five as we did before. So we have virtually unlimited access to the data and to the satellites effectively every time they come over North America. So it has changed our ability to collect and process data tremendously.
Does it make a difference being out in this wide open space?
Absolutely. One of the main things for the satellite dish to operate properly is to what we call direct line of sight. The dish needs to see the satellite directly. The satellite sends its signals, and if there were trees in the way or big buildings or high rises, that would block the signal and we wouldn't receive the data. That's why you'd never see this type of structure in the middle of a city, unless if it were to be on top of the highest building of the city, that would work very well too. So to have it here sitting in the flat prairies of Alberta is absolutely perfect. If you look from the position where we built the satellite ground station, you can virtually see the entire horizon, meaning every time the satellite comes over, just as soon as it peaks over the horizon, we can see the satellite. It starts sending its data, and we download the data. So just to give you an idea, from our observation point here in Lethbridge, we can see the satellites anytime they come over, about halfway through Quebec in east, that's how far we can see, and about halfway to Alaska, now east-west, that's how far we can see. Up north, I don't even know, we can almost see the North Pole, I imagine, and down south, we can keep on tracking the satellites till they're about one-third into Mexico. So just from our vantage point here in Lethbridge, that's how far we can see, thanks to the flatness of Alberta, really.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Wim Chalmette, the operations manager at IONQTIS Geomatics Corporation. I also spoke with the company president, Ryan Johnson, along with Dr. Dennis Fitzpatrick of the University of Lethbridge. You can imagine that the equipment scientists use to analyze satellite imagery is very expensive. Take the goniometer, for example. There are only a handful in the world, and they cost upwards of $400,000. That daunting figure, however, was not about to stop Dr. Craig Coburn from doing his research. Craig is an assistant professor in geography at the University of Lethbridge. He used his carpentry skills to make one for about $200. So, just what is a goniometer?
Goniometer is a device that we use to measure hemispherical reflectance from a surface target. So it'll take a variety of spectral measurements at a 360-degree circle around a target plus 180 degrees over a target.
And you use this with satellites?
Well, we use it in order to help us characterize satellite data. So satellites take images of the Earth from an angle. And as we know, we're going to have, you know, things on the surface of the Earth will look different based on the angular relationship between the sun, you on the ground, and the sensor. So we need to be able to accurately characterize what those images are recording from the satellite. And these days, one of the only ways to do that, especially with new satellite systems that are up that take more than one image, or an image from more than one angle, I should say, of a surface, we need to have ground truth validation data that will allow us to correctly characterize the satellite image.
How do you use a goniometer in your research?
Well, one of our current uses of this goniometer is in conjunction with Dr. Ann Smith at the Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Research Station here in Lethbridge. Dr. Smith is an adjunct professor in the Department of Geography, and we're currently looking at a variety of agricultural crops and how they look from different angles. So can we tell the difference between barley and wheat? Could we tell the difference between different varieties of canola? And can we do that not just based on their spectral characteristics, so how they look or their color, but based on their angular distributions of that of their spectral reflectance? So those are areas where if you're trying to detect small differences, say, between a variety of crops, then we should be able to do that based on their different angular distributions of spectral reflectance.
Now, these goniometers, I understand, are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you've done something a little bit different in order to have one of those accessible for your research that cost $200. How on earth did you manage that?
Well, a goniometer is really a positioning device. So one of my research colleagues, Dr. Derek Peddle, here in the Department of Geography, has a spectroradiometer. So he has the sensor. So what we needed was a positioning device in order to create, in fact, a low-cost goniometer. NASA builds them. They are rare machines. There's not very many of them on the planet. So I just looked at the problem, and I said, well, I could robotically control it, and I could have it be large and requiring computers and all sorts of other fancy gizmos, or I could build one that was modest in size, very modest in price, that would allow me to just position the sensor at any angle. So, you know, you take something, it's the same concept, it's just applied in a low-cost context. So how do you do the same thing that the big instrument's doing with a whole lot less money?
What did you build it out of?
It's actually built out of wood. So it's built out of medium-density fiberboard just because it's dimensionally stable. So once it's there and painted, it's not going to shift or move around. The next generation, this was our prototype, which has actually been a pretty good little workhorse, but the next generation would be built out of aluminum to allow easy transport. But that, again, I mean, we could still do that, still a low-cost solution. It might cost us $1,000, but it's not going to cost us $250,000.
Now, you told me that most geographers are duct tape scientists. Is there any duct tape on your model?
Sure, get me into trouble now. There's no duct tape on it, but there's odd things that you find in the plumbing section of your local hardware store. Of course, the wood section of your local hardware store. Yeah, these are commonly found bits and pieces that as you wander around the aisles of your Home Depot, then you'll find things. And if you're a scientist who specializes in low-cost instrumentation, then I just see all kinds of little opportunities for things you could build out of, you know, a variety of things that, you know, people wouldn't think at all that that's what you were using it for.
Now, this first model that you've done, how have you been transporting it around?
We'll just load it on. Oh, it used to be loaded onto the top of my old car, and currently we carry it around in the back of Dr. Petal's minivan. So it's a low cost solution for transport. So you load it into your car and take it out into the field. The other advantage is very lightweight, which most of these extremely expensive goniometers are, you know, on the order of say 800 kilograms. Where I've been seen wandering around the university carrying my goniometer, the whole thing, it probably weighs about 20 or 30 pounds.
Are you going for a bigger model?
Yeah, the next generation, the first prototype, is about 4 feet in diameter at the base and has an arch that can extend to about two meters over the target. That's big enough for most smaller features, grasslands and things like that. It's not big enough to do some of the other surfaces we're interested in, so I'm currently in the design phase of a relatively large goniometer, about 6 to 7 feet high and 12 to 14 feet in diameter.
Your innovation, what does that mean for the research community?
Well, this is a sort of device that it's a rare device, and it's a unique opportunity for Canadian remote sensing science to start to become a player in sort of some of these ground measurements that we do in remote sensing. So currently on campus there's a lot of remote sensing activity going on, and part of the Alberta Terrestrial Imaging Center and other initiatives put forward by the university and industry. And these sorts of instruments will be housed in a new building that's currently being drafted up by the architects, the Water and Environmental Science Building, and it'll be part of that research infrastructure. So it'll be available for other researchers across Canada and around the world to use. Or because it's a low-cost design, you know, we could also fabricate them and deliver them as per requests.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Craig Coburn, an assistant professor of geography at the University of Lethbridge. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the University of Lethbridge, Calgary Technologies, Inc., Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Alberta Innovation and Science, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Ingenuity, I-Corp, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, the Alberta Conservation Association, Science Alberta Foundation, Ducks Unlimited Canada, and the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Research Chair. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.